The Bible reading this morning is from Habakkuk, chapter 1, verses 2-11. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. The Lord's answer: look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honour. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own strength is their God. Amen.
Wow. So much hope and vitality there, right? Just cheering. We could really be cheering after reading such a hope-filled message. But I think there's hope here in the darkness. I think there's hope in the darkness. I think one of the key issues that we see in the story this morning from and the passage this morning from Habakkuk is that Habakkuk is a guy who is one of the 12 minor prophets. He is not like Isaiah or Jeremiah, but one of the minor prophets that's recorded in the Old Testament. He would be part of what would be called the Book of 12 for those in the Old Testament. But the interesting thing about Habakkuk, which is different to some of the other prophets, is that the other prophets spoke on behalf of God, like the message from God to the people. And yet Habakkuk is here with a message back to God. Listen here, buddy. He may not have said that. That's probably not in the original text, but that's essentially that's the tone behind what we read this morning. Hey, oi! This is what you planned. You're not sticking up to your part of the bargain. Now, I know that Habakkuk is an isolated person who is the only one that has ever gone to God with such a tone. And silence fell over the room. We've never gone to God and said, hey, listen here, buddy. That's not the plan of how it's supposed to work out. Yeah, we have? Oh, good. So it's not just me. That's good. It makes me feel a little better. The key difference here is not just that it's God amongst the people, but it's about the fact that he goes and says, hey, this is not how it's supposed to play out. Verse 1 is not a verse that I asked Kathy to read this morning, but it says in a number of translations, one might say utterance, one might say prophecy, but the word in the Hebrew is actually a word for burden or for doom. Well, this is going well, right? How long must I call to you, but you don't listen? We cry out for your help and you give us violence. We look around us and we don't see you intervening. So anytime you're ready to turn up, now would be good. Yesterday would have been better. That's the kind of tone that we're hearing from Habakkuk. I've used the same tone. Just being honest with God. I've showed a similar level of impatience to Habakkuk when I'm speaking to God. I've used language like you don't really seem to care. You aren't doing that much when you really could be doing way more. And what you are doing doesn't seem fair. Have you said similar things in interactions with God? God, if I were you, this is what I'd be doing. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever said things like that? There are some within our congregation and within the world who can just trust implicitly that God's got it and have a faith that is indescribable. I don't share that kind of faith. I seem to need to tell God what needs to happen, you know? There's a level of trust that I need to build that isn't there. The question has to be asked sometimes, is it okay to question God? Is it okay to question God? I would argue that yes, it is. One third of the Psalms are prayers or songs about people who are hurting. The authors of Job and Lamentations and Ecclesiastes and Jeremiah are all authors who tell stories of times when things weren't going so well. Even Jesus, when he hung on the cross, even prior to the cross when he was in the garden, said, if this isn't your will for me, you better let the cup pass. And when he was on the cross, did he not say, why did you forsake me? He asked the question, why? And then to see the response, the fact that he got a response is amazing in itself. I'd be super excited if I asked God and then there was an element where he responded like a two-way conversation immediately. That doesn't always happen as quickly as it's chronologically recorded here in Habakkuk 1. But to see in there the response. Now, when Habakkuk goes to God and prays, there is a list of things that Habakkuk thinks it's probably going to turn out like. Then for him to use the Babylonians, that's not part of the plan. The Babylonians are the worst. They're the enemies of the day. They are where the Israelite people are in exile. You're going to use who? Of all the people in the world, you're going to use who? What about us? You could use us. No, no, no. God, what it tells me in this passage is that there is so much distance between my thoughts and God's thoughts. There's so much distance between my plans and God's plans. Imagine being Habakkuk and coming to God saying, listen here, buddy. And then God saying, righto then, I'll use the Babylonians. There'd be shock, there'd be horror, there'd be this increased tension of, this is not how it's supposed to have played out. Now, if we read the rest of Habakkuk, which only goes to three chapters, we could easily get to the end of the first chapter and say, you know what, I'm walking away. If I pray to God and I am coming to him and saying, listen here, I need some, you're not intervening here like you could. And then he comes back and says, I'm going to use your enemies to bring about my plans. It would be easy for us in our human form to walk away, right? To walk away at the end of chapter 1. Ooh. I'm going to stop being involved. I did have some things for the screen, but we won't use them just today. You don't walk away in chapter 1. You could read chapter 2. The problem that we have is that in chapter 1, we're wondering, We're wondering, where is God's plan going to play out? We're wondering, what is going to happen here? But in chapter 2, we're asked to do the worst thing in the entire planet. We're asked to wait. Who loves to wait? Nobody. Right? Netflix. Insta everything. Our entire world is about getting it now. If we can get it yesterday, that'd be better. Often, our answers from God we want in the same Netflix, Insta world. When we pray to God, we expect a response immediately. We're not asked, we're not actually wanting to wait. It's easy to not want to wait. We live in an Insta world. We want so much to live in an Insta world. The three things to do when we're hurting, when we are wanting God to intervene, is, I think there are three things that we can grab here from the waiting stage. The first is, I will listen. I will stand at my watch and station myself in chapter 2. Station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Not easy to listen, because to listen, we often hear to respond. We don't listen to receive the message. In the world around us today, we are hearing to respond, right? We're thinking, whilst the other person is talking, often we are trying to think of our next response rather than hearing the message that it needs to be given. There's a moment of waiting that is associated with that, and waiting is like a offensive word to lots of people, including me, right? When you have the spiritual gift of impatience, and to have the impatience at the level in which I have it, it must be a spiritual gift. There's no way in the world that that's just a human... No, that's not true. My tongue is firmly in cheek, but I am as impatient as anybody. I want things to happen yesterday. If it couldn't happen the day before yesterday, that would be even better. So it's not even that I don't want to listen, because I'm happy to listen as long as he's responding now. Not soon, not in the future, but having to wait. Really? But we could have this over and done with right now, as long as you just do what I need you to do, God. This is what I need you to do. In chapter 1, we don't want to wait. Chapter 2, it's easy to quit while we're waiting. Then the Lord answered me and said, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets. Document it. Record it. Write it down. Write down the ways that God has been faithful to us in years gone by. Write down the promises that he has given to us and wait for him to intervene his way. You see, I think the enemy wants to take from us what God has given to us. The enemy wants to take from us what God has given to us. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry and wait for it, it will surely come. It will not delay. If it's not God's time, you can't force it. When it is God's time, you can't stop it. But these things I plan in Habakkuk 2:3. These things I plan won't happen right away. The Living Bible says this: slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, how's that for the patient people, right? If it seems slow, don't despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. God's time is sovereign. Things sometimes feel like they're taking forever. I remember once doing one of the most unwise things I ever did in ministry, and I'm going to share it this morning. We got posted from Bowen to Sydney with a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and we thought we'd drive. 28 hours, wasn't so fun. By about the 2-hour mark, I thought this was a dumb idea. And then we got to Mackay. And then they said, are we here? No. No, we're not. And then we went from Mackay to a place called Marlborough. And then for those that have travelled the north of Queensland, there's a stretch of road that, quite frankly, is forever. Especially when you're driving, called the Marlborough Stretch. And it does, it takes forever. The longest distance I've ever driven is that road that day with 2 kids under 5. It took quite literally forever. I thought that if the Lord had come back, it would have been less in my pain, right? Then we got to Rockhampton and they said, we've made it. No, we haven't. You know, and so we struggle, even when we're a little tacker, to be patient, to wait. 6 hours in a car doesn't seem so long, except when there's 22 ahead, right? Oh, it's not that far. But when you receive a response from God to wait, but you could do it now. You could do it now. The sentence that really stuck out to me when I was preparing for today: there will not be, it will not come to pass at a day that is over, one day overdue. It will come in God's time. So when we are in the midst of hurting and seeing hurt around us and we want God to intervene and we are wondering where is God in all of this, there is this tension between what actually is the word Habakkuk actually mean. There's this tension between wrestling out the promise of God that he is sovereign and embracing his sovereignty all at the same time. Fighting against it and hugging it. There's not a whole bunch of hope yet. I thought you said today was about hope in the dark. I think the hope comes. The hope comes in chapter 3. Chapter 3 suggests a reset. We go from being confused to being trusting. We go from being unsettled to embracing. And there's a word there that I didn't know. And I thought, that is just the most bizarre word. It's the word Shigenoth. I've been practicing that all week and it didn't work out so well. Shigenoth, a prayer of the prophet Habakkuk according to Shigenoth. What does Shigenoth mean? It's a plural word. A plural word for the word Shigen, only found once else in the Bible. Psalm chapter 7, and it's this impassioned exuberance, a really strong emotion, wild, passionate singing. That's what it means, to wildly, passionately sing with rapid changes of rhythm, high-spirited praise, vigorous enthusiasm. Knowing what that all of those things are there, hear Habakkuk's words. O Lord, I've heard of your renown. I stand in awe, O Lord, of your work. In our time, revive it. In our time, make it known. In wrath, may you remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. The brightness was full like the sun. Rays came forth from his hand where his power lay hidden. And it goes on to say that it goes on throughout the entire passage. I hear and I tremble within. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones and my steps tremble beneath me. I wait quietly for the day of calamity to come upon the people who attack us. And here's the key passage from verse 17. These are the things around me. Though the fig tree doesn't blossom and there's no fruit on the vines, though the produce of oil fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there's no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and makes me tread upon the heights. Even though people go through dark times, Habakkuk says, remember the two places that God took his people for refuge? Remember, we thought there was no way out, but he made a way out. Embrace God's faithfulness to us, his people. To Habakkuk, they felt like enemies, but God used the Babylonians. In this passage, God is still on the throne. Even though we can't see it right now, in the midst of where we find ourselves, we may see ourselves and we may be praying those prayers. Hey, listen, buddy, I asked you to break through in this and it hasn't happened. We might not have fig trees. We may not have vines, but we may not have olive produce of the olive. But what we do have are times like those. And when things like that happen and things don't happen the way that we want them to, let's join with Habakkuk in saying, yeah, everything on the horizon may well not look so great right now, but I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt the God of my salvation. Despite what we see in front of us, let's bring wholehearted praise. Don't walk away after chapter 1. Don't quit on God while you're waiting in chapter 2. Because without chapter 1 and chapter 2, you won't have the chapter 3 faith that Habakkuk has. Without chapters 1 and chapter 2. What does it tell us? That God is sovereign and God is faithful. When we pray those things like Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 6. And I shared this last week, I think. Your kingdom come, your will be done. If I was being really honest, there are plenty of times when I pray to God, like Habakkuk, and I say, God, I need you to speak or to work in this situation. Then I shift away from those words in the Lord's Prayer and I say, my way, here's the plan. It's not his kingdom come, I'm actually wanting it to be my way. I'm wanting him to work out the plans that I have. But that shifts us away from the promise that Jeremiah gives to us that he has plans for us, plans for a future and a hope. If we want a hope in our dark times, then we need to be able to wholeheartedly praise like Habakkuk. There is no figs on the fig tree, while there is no blossoms on the vine, I will praise God, knowing that he is faithful despite what I can see. No matter what I can see on the horizon, I'm praying that he is faithful. Believing that he is sovereign and his way is best, you see. We used to sing a song, it was my Nana's favourite song. I don't know if it's a broad hymn or just within the salvos, but I'm in his hands, whatever the future holds, I'm in his hands. His way is best, you see. His way is best, you see. I'm in his hands. The tension for me as a human in 21st century Australia is that I try to keep telling myself that my way is best. But for me to say that God is sovereign and God is on the throne, then I can't be there. If I'm making him king of my life, then I need to make sure that I am coming to him in wholehearted praise. That whilst the landscape around me tells me that you are not working here, I praise you because you are a faithful God who sees his people and is working in ways that you know because you're God, not in ways that I want you to work, like a cosmic puppet of sorts. Let's pray. Loving God, we come before you this morning and we say sorry for the times where we have tried to influence the way in which you use us in your world around us by wanting so much for it to sort out the way that we want it to sort out. This morning, we commit to the fact that there's a wrestle and there's an embrace that comes from being in the story of Habakkuk. But in the midst of the waiting, God, we know that you are faithful, that you're faithful. Lord, we pray that you would continue to give us glimpses of your faithfulness to us in these days ahead, that it would build our faith in you. And Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. One of the challenges that we have is that we often look for God just in our mountaintop experiences, right? But it's often our faith-building times are when we're walking through the valleys. When we walk through the valleys, that's when we learn to trust him more. When things are dark, when things are not so great, That's when we trust God more. The world in which we live is such a time-driven place. We often think that God's delays are His denials. But they're not. They're not His denials at all. He's just saying to wait. Wait. And His timing is best. We're going to sing together these words that say, "Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.